Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.
Are you forced to celebrate the holidays? Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, Easter, Valentine's Day, Father's Day, Mother's Day. All of these days are not biblical days. They're all pagan days. They're all man-made days that were created. And the secret disguise behind them is Satan. Many people know that these days are pagan and will try to avoid them. Christmas, for instance, many people know that that day is pagan, but yet and still they are forced or arm twisted by family or friends, by the school system, the workplace, to partake in these days. And if you don't partake in these days, either by family, friends, teachers, educators, you know, just the general public, it seems like you're doing something bad. But this is not the case. It's the complete opposite, that you're doing something bad if you celebrate these days, because these days are not of the Lord. These days are based upon Satanism. Paganism is just a code word for Satanism. And devil worship, idol worship, and many things of the like. This is the unheard truth. Just try it on for size this year. And tell someone, well, you know, I'm going to celebrate Christmas this year. And see what their reaction will be. It will be a negative one. It won't be, well, okay, well, that's, you know, it's your choice what you want to do. They will instantly try to persuade you to go to the Christmas party. Tell them you're not coming to the Christmas party this year and see what happens. They will instantly try to persuade you. Well, why, you know, what's wrong? Why won't you celebrate Christmas? Why won't you celebrate Thanksgiving? Why won't you celebrate these days? What, you know, are you not a happy person? Are you a Grinch? You know, these are things that instantly come out of people's mouth. It's a defense mechanism. Because the whole system, this whole world system is built on a satanic vibration. See, not many people know this. Many people know, like, oh, these days are pagan, but they don't know that the prince and power of the air, and that includes the radio waves, that includes the TV stations, is Satan. Satan is controlling what goes out on the media, what goes out in the press. He's controlling. That's why you don't hear anything that's really dealing with the Most High, that's dealing with the Holy Bible. You know, Christmas is a religious holiday. So why do they allow it in schools? Why do they allow it in the government? Why does the President of the United States endorse it if there's supposed to be a separation from church and state? That is a question. That is a very good question, because it has nothing to do with Christ. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It has nothing to do with the Bible. It has everything to do with promoting Satanism. And to start off, I'm going to read one of our mainstay scriptures that we usually read for all of our shows that we do on the Body of Christ Radio Network. This is Isaiah, the 8th chapter, and the 20th verse, and it reads, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." So Thanksgiving, we just had Thanksgiving in the United States, and, you know, it's very catching because this time of year, a lot of countries are starting to pick up this day called Black Friday. And many people don't know the history on Black Friday is going back to slavery, you know, where they have an auction of slaves to helping the slave owners to get ready for Christmas, bringing the crops. And that's what Black Friday is really about. So many people don't know the history. And especially, you know, so-called black people, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, are really not looking at the history. Really not looking at their history. That's why Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." When you open up this Bible, the Bible will shine a light on what days are to be celebrated, what days are not to be celebrated, and then you'll be able to see the truth that are in these days. So a lot of people, they're not seeking out of the book of the Lord and reading it. They're not going to the law and to the testimony. They're going to their pastor. "Well, my pastor said it's okay, and, you know, it's better to give rather than to receive." So that's what they'll start to use, certain passages from the scriptures, but then they won't go to Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. In Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, it starts going on and explaining the Christmas tree and blah, 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 blah. But I want to read this scripture in opening up and dealing with the topic of the day, how people are forced to celebrate these days. This is the book of Exodus 23 and verse 2. It says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." Because people find strength in numbers. It's like, well, everybody's doing it. That's what they say. Everybody's doing it. So, you know, this is something that children would say to their parents to try to, you know, reason some naughtiness or thing that they've done that was bad and now they're in trouble. It's like, well, all my friends are doing it. Well, it might be, you know, they're going out or they're having sex. All my friends are doing it. Or the child got told off or a letter sent home and they were being bad in class. Well, all the children don't like that teacher. That teacher's crazy. You know, no one likes her and she's mean to everybody, blah, blah, blah. You know, so it says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." And what the evil we're talking about today is what the world calls holidays. So they just had Thanksgiving in the United States, and what they have coming up now is Christmas. So this is the topic that we're going to be talking about this morning. I'm your brother, Gadai. When I say in the U.S. because I'm not currently in the U.S. right now. I'm in the U.K. in London, England. London Town, as they call it over here. Broadcasting live from the U.K., another Kings and Priests. Are you forced to celebrate the holidays? I mean, holiday, just that word holiday means holy day. The only holy days that we can find in the Bible is in the majority of them are in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. In Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, goes in a whole host of days. And what they have done, the pagans have their own host of days. See, whatever God has, Satan does the reverse. So the Most High says for us to have Thanksgiving. We have a feast of ingathering. or the Feast of Tabernacles. That's when we gave thanks to the Most High for the harvest and the things that we brought in, and we would go and stay in booths for 7 days and thank the Most High, you know, brought the Israelites out of Egypt and, you know, thank the Most High for the harvest. So they replaced that with Thanksgiving, which is really, you know, these festival gods, the god of corn, you know, all these things, they take a, it's a replacement. So people don't celebrate what the Most High says, oh, that's Jewish and that's for Christians, blah, blah, blah. The Most High said, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Because all these days are set up on paganism. They're set up on the worship of other gods. I mean, we do many shows on Thanksgiving, on Halloween, on Christmas, going to every intricate part, every symbol, everything from Santa Claus, from the Christmas tree, from the mistletoe, from the wreath, you know, the carol and singing, lights in the windows, and all that stuff has nothing to do with the scriptures or the Bible. And many people are finding out that this is true. Many people are finding out that Christ was not born on December the 25th. That's like basic. That's basic, because this is the information age. All you got to do is go to YouTube. I want the truth about Christmas. And boom, you're going to find how many things. But these things won't be broadcasted on TV and media. If they are, they're broadcasted as a joke. That's how they broadcast it. Over here in the UK, they had a TV show on about how setting up a Christmas tree wasn't wrong. You had this saint and this saint blessed it and blah. No. Jeremiah 10 overrules that. The Most High, it's an idol. You never see that where Jesus Christ said to set up to honor him. He said to remember him, and you find that in 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. Matter of fact, let's get that. So people now, they don't want to honor Christ. It's like, oh, December the 25th is not in the Bible. No one could go in there and find it. They know it. The demons tell you, you can't find it. Just say, you know, we're doing a good thing to honor Christ. This is what we're doing to honor Christ. This is how we remember Christ. Well, in the Bible, Christ tell you how to remember him. And this is 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. Says, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was afraid, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So what did Christ tell us to do to remember him? To take the wine and to break the bread. That's what we do to remember him. Why? Because the bread is his body, and the wine is a representation of his blood that he shed. So let's read on. Verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup with sup, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So these things are powerful symbols that Christ gave us. But what? No, you don't want that. What you want? A holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. That's what people want. And these songs and things that they have are very catchy. They have a vibration on them. They have a spell on them. You know, that's why, you know, that they have that song, I Put a Spell on You. That's what it does. That's why people say it's the Christmas spirit. It's the Christmas spirit. Many people, they've got the Christmas spirit. And it's a spell. It's a spell that's been put on them. And then all these different people are reinforcing it. So the topic of the day is you're being forced. And Exodus 23, let's go back to that. It says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause of decline after many to rest judgment. So this is what happened. People, they're going with the flow. They're going with the crowd. It's just, you know, it's just like sheep to the slaughter. I'm just following. I'm just going along to get along. I don't want any trouble. So, but is this correct according to the scriptures? This is not correct according to the scriptures. Many people, they don't want to be persecuted. But if you're going to serve the Lord and Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer persecution for the truth. You're going to suffer persecution for what is right. But many people, what happened? They're caught up in the spell. They're caught up into everything. If you don't get your children the right gift, what's going to happen? And actually, we have a clip. I've got a clip, and I want to play it. What will happen if you don't get your children the right gift? What will happen if you don't get your spouse the right gift? Let's see. Let's play this. Hold on.
This week, I issued a challenge. I asked the parents of America to pull a little holiday trick on their children. We did this on Halloween with candy and got a lot of response to it. So we did it again, this time for Christmas. I asked parents to tell their kids they were going to let them open one present a few weeks early. But instead of a good present, I said, put something the kids won't like in the box, and then upload a video of that to YouTube labeled, "Hey Jimmy Kimmel, I gave my kids a terrible present." And a lot of people did do this, and they did give their kids terrible presents, and a lot of the kids, surprisingly, reacted poorly to that.
Goodness.
Wow,
that's so nice of him.
Do you like that?
No.
Why?
I don't like Christmas. But you
can
bake with it.
No. You can bake with it, buddy. Why don't you like that?
I don't like it.
Why not? So thank you.
No, that was from our house.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't from our house. Unless he took it from our house.
Wow, say thank you to Sam, and yeah, that was nice of him to give you a cool present like that.
That wasn't cool, though.
That wasn't cool?
What did you get, Jason? Some black beans, cheese, and a Waffle House hat. What did you get?
A potato.
Oh, you got it with the potato head. Are you upset?
That's what it is.
I know what it is.
What? Is there something you wanted?
No.
What do you mean?
What is it?
What is that?
What is that?
What? You like that? Why?
You don't like our
earlier. Why not?
That's kind of being silly, huh?
What? What'd you say? Show everybody your gift.
What is
it? What is it? Crisco. Congratulations, that's a cool gift. And then what about you, Jay? Show everybody your gift. You got a nice big piece of wood there. That's so cool. Let me see. Lift it up. Can you lift it up? Do you like it? No.
What don't you like about it?
Because it's wood?
What'd you say, Charlie?
I don't like this.
A battery and an onion.
What's wrong?
I don't want an onion.
Did you smell your onion?
Yeah. Here, smell it.
Oh, I
smelled it. Alright, so let me see. So hold your gift up and smile. Hold it up and smile. There you go, and say thank you, Santa.
Thank you.
Let me see. Say thank you, Santa.
Thank you, Santa.
That's cool.
Marissa, what do you tell me all the time about my cooking?
You love my cooking, so I made you something.
You should appreciate her giving us a present, but I didn't know it would be like that. A sandwich of mine. I love your cooking when you cook, like, dinner.
To it's better to give than to receive, and you know, all that good stuff. It's about gifts. It's not about Christ. You've got the Christmas spirit. See, the spell's been put on you. The spell's been put on your children. The spell, this is a powerful spell. This is powerful magics that happens every year. You know, people don't recognize it because they caught in the spell, man. You see these kids, man, they're like, they're not thankful. They're not grateful. You're like, what? What's this? I don't want this. I don't want this bat, whatever. They're not grateful. They're not thankful. See, it's not about Jesus Christ. It's, why? Because children aren't taught us about Jesus Christ. Well, adults isn't taught about as Jesus Christ. What are they looking forward to? They're looking for that lavish party that their company is going to throw. They're looking for that freak that they know going to be at the Christmas party once she get a few drinks, that she's going to be ready and available. And they're going to try to ward out everybody else that's trying to, you know, hook up with her. The Christmas party hookup. See, these things are evil, man. But these are things that people look forward to. They're looking forward to their gifts. If you don't get your wife that right gift, you might get divorced. You don't get your boyfriend or girlfriend that right gift, you're going to be single, buddy. You know, and this is a time of year where, you know, a lot of people, you know, they feel depressed and down. And they didn't get enough gifts or they didn't get enough attention or whatever, what a la, 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 la. There's nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Nobody do what the manger scene, which is wrong, when the wise men found Christ, they didn't find him in a manger. The shepherds found him in the manger. The wise men found him in the house. He was like, "What are you talking about, Willis?" Let's I'm gonna get that and read it for you, because many people, you know, they need to hear it. The scripture says, prove all things. So, this is the book of Matthews. The book of Matthews. Because you have the wise men. They show the shepherds, and they show the wise men, and they're just bringing the gifts in into him, and he in the manger. Right? Okay. So, let's start from Matthews. And where should I start? I'll start from the first verse, so you know, you can get the you got to read the whole chapter. That's what people will say, because the scriptures will cut them from the lies that they told, and it's like, you know, it's a wake up call. For a lot of them, it's not a wake up call. They've been kicked out of bed, and they're mad now that they've been awakened from their sleep, like a sleeping dragon. So this is Matthew 2, verse 1, proving that the major scene is wrong. And a lot of these things, the holidays, we're gonna bring out the truth on them. We're not going to go on just one topic or one area. We're going to go into a lot of things and show that these things is evil. And then people are being forced to celebrate Christmas. People are being forced to celebrate Thanksgiving. People are being forced to celebrate Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and all of these different holidays that are man-made that have nothing to do with the Bible. So Matthew 2, verse 1, proving that the wise men did not find Jesus Christ in the manger. Matthew 2 and 1 says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. It said wise men. It didn't say three wise men. It just said wise men. So that's more than one, okay? Saying, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor and that shall rule my people Israel. So Jesus Christ was of the tribe of Judah. Out of the 12 tribes, his tribe was Judah, and he is of the people of Israel, so he is an Israelite. He's not all people, every people, all some alien made of all colors. That's a lie. He had a people, he had a tribe. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. See, when the real Christ show up, he makes people nervous, because Christ is about righteousness and truth. So he wanted to find him because he thought that he was going to take over his rulership. And Herod, he was a king in Judea now. And he's like, oh, well, this guy's going to come and he's going to take over my rulership, so I want to find him and kill him. So this is the vibration that Christ puts out. He makes people scared or afraid that's doing evil things, the real Christ. Not that counterfeit Caesar Borgia fake image that they put up in the Middle Ages of Jesus Christ. That's not the real, the Renaissance Jesus is not the real Jesus. That's the pagan Jesus. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and more and myrrh. So two things. It said they came into a house and they saw the young child, not a baby. So many lies have been told on the scriptures, and people are beginning to find out. But what the problem is that many people are scared. They're terrified to say, you know what, this is not right. Even Christians from pastors, or, you know, just a Christian member that's a part of a congregation, or the deacons or the ministers, they're afraid to say anything against these days. How can they? Unless they're ready to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, to be persecuted for the truth, maybe lose their position, maybe lose members to their church, maybe lose, for some people, it may go as far as losing family relations, marital relations, meaning, you know, if you say to your wife or your spouse, look, baby, we ain't celebrating Christmas this year, you know, we're not going to have the children, you may be divorced by the 26th. You know, that's how serious, that's how powerful this is. You know, you could say, look, it's not in, you know, this is not a biblical holiday. Look, baby, we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be following the Bible. This is not a biblical. We can't celebrate this anymore. You know, let's go tell our pastor, you know, you may be a single man. This is how powerful this thing is. So many people, they go along to get along. And this is not supposed to be the case. This is not supposed to be the case. So I've just shown you and proven to you, you know, Christmas, or that manger scene that they put up every Christmas, that ain't got nothing to do. That has nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing to do with the Bible. But many people still go along and follow it. So You know, a few more scriptures I want to bring out about, you know, going along to get along. This is Proverbs 4 and 14. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. So many people are going to do that because it's just everybody. It's that multitude. It's that multitude. And something that Job said, this is Job 31, 34, says, did I fear a great multitude? Or did the contempt of families terrify me that I kept silence and went not out of the door? So that's what a real man or woman of the Lord is going to be like. They're not going to be afraid of a great number of people. They're not going to be afraid of what their family is going to say. They're going to stand for truth. They're going to stand for justice. They're going to stand for righteousness. But many people, they can't do it. It's like, do it for Christ, I ain't going to do it. Like, can you do it for Jesus Christ? I ain't going to do it. It's like, well, you're going to do it for your family. You're going to do it for... And many people are like, yeah, I know Christmas is pagan, but it's for the kids. It's for the kids. So above Jesus is your kids. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm choosing Christ. I'm choosing my child over Christ. And another scripture, like it says, this is Proverbs, the first chapter in the 10th verse. Proverbs, the first chapter in the 10th verse. It says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without a cause. So it says, if sinners entice thee, consent thee not. So what does it mean to be enticed? What does that mean? Does it mean you have no kind of say? Or let's see, this is the definition. It says entice, to lead on by enticing hope or desire, allure. So to entice someone or allure someone, it has to be something that is going to draw you in. Another word for allure is charm. So what is a charm? A charm could go on par or be equal to a spell. So people are drawn in or enticed by their own lust. Every year, December the 25th, you may say it's for the kids, but what's good for your children? The truth is good for your children too. But you're going to lie to them and tell them that Santa Claus is going to come and give them the gifts. Santa Claus is going to come down an imaginary chimney. Many people don't have a fireplace. Some people do have a fireplace. That he's going to fit down the chute. And it's like, well, how's Santa Claus going to fit down the chimney, you know, with the gifts, with the bike, with the Xbox One and different things or whatever? How are you going to fit down there? Oh, he's going to magically make himself thin. And these are all lies. I thought we were supposed to lie. I thought we were supposed to tell our children the truth. Let them lie to you. They may be getting a spanking on the backside, and you're upset. Why'd you lie? Why'd you lie to the teacher? Why'd you lie to the police officer? Where did they learn these things from? They learned them from a very young age. How, look, certain things you can lie about, oh, this is imagination, it's fantasy. And that's exactly what it is. It is imagination. It is fantasy. But people are enticed by sinners or this sin, these wicked days, because they're not holy. They're enticed. And how are they enticed? Let's read. Let's go to the book of James, the first chapter and the 12th verse. It says, blessed the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So many people are enticed. They're drawn to these days because of something that they want out of them. Either they want a gift, or they're looking for free love, or they know people are going to be, or women are going to be loose, or more carefree. They're looking to get drunk. So what? People, the liquor is going to flow during this time of year, or they're gluttons. You know, they just want to go and eat a lot of food to excess, or get drunk to excess, sex to excess. That woman that they're looking at, that, you know, that is married, that's been looking at them sideways, if I get her drunk, I can get some of that. All these things are going on because of their lust. So if you know that Christmas is a lie, why are you still celebrating it? It's something that is enticing you, that's holding you, that's binding you to this evil spell, this evil, wicked spirit that's called the Christmas spirit. Or any of these days, Thanksgiving, Halloween, whatever. Most people know that Halloween is about hell, is about the devil, is about witches, is about demons, is about spirits. They know it, but it's like it's fun. Why is it fun? Because you're going to go to a party where the women are half-dressed. They have Halloween parties where people show up just barely with barely anything on. Then, okay, you go to a Halloween party, and the women are already in their underwear, throw some drugs, throw some drinks in there, and you're going to get you some. That's what more like, yeah, what is that? It's because of your own lust. Your own lust is separating people from the truth. Then when things get bad in your life, then you want the truth. Then you want God. What's God going to do? He's going to laugh at you. God going to laugh. You talking about ho, ho, ho. God going to ho, ho, ho at you because you turned away from the truth. He's going to laugh at your calamity because when the truth came forth, you didn't want to hear. Oh, because it's me. It's the poor man. So we're going to take a short break. And we're going to come back and we're going to deal more with this Christmas and how people are forced, or they think that they're forced, to celebrate these holidays. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake. On Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
They fasten it with nails and hammers that it moves not. Be not afraid of them. They cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good.
Santa Claus is another good example of a pagan element of Christmas. Santa Claus, as we know him today, is an amalgamation of several different traditions. But in most cultures throughout the world, you will find the existence of what is known as hearth gods. Gods who guard the hearth and the chimney and keep the fire burning and make sure the food cooks properly and the people are warm and what have you. And at a certain time of year, in the middle of winter, typically, the hearth god, dressed in red, will come down the chimney to reward those who have pleased him during the course of the previous year, and to lay curses or hexes or other forms of punishment upon people who have displeased him.
The concept of Santa Claus has had a long and winding history, with a number of diverse cultures contributing to the composite character we have today. Beginning once again in Scandinavia, Santa's original incarnation was in the form of Odin, the pagan god of thunder, a tall fellow with a long flowing beard who inhabited the spirit-infested Nordic forests. Odin would travel the sky during the winter solstice, deciding who would die and who would prosper. Most believers were frightened at this particular time of year. In England, Odin eventually evolved into Father Christmas, crowned with sprigs of holly, traveled to the countryside getting roaring drunk as part of the Festival of Fools celebration. Frequently, he would be accompanied by a horned goat, ironically the biblical symbol of those who reject the salvation of Jesus Christ. According to the traditions of the Church of Rome, there was a Turkish bishop named Nicholas who hailed from Myra in Asia Minor during the 4th century. He was known as the patron saint seafaring men. Over the centuries, as the legends began to unfold, it was rumored that St. Nicholas had actually captured the devil himself, put him in chains, and made him his personal servant. Recognized in various cultures as Krampus, Beelzebub, or Zwart Peter, Black Peter, this assistant of St. Nicholas is best known by his German name, Necht Ruprecht, described as a hideous horned creature. The servant Ruprecht was a dark and sinister figure who stood in stark contrast to the saintly Nicholas. Somehow, Father Christmas's companion, the horned goat, had metamorphosized into the foreboding horned devil called Ruprecht. As St. Nicholas traveled from house to house, inquiring about the behavior of children, Ruprecht would drop candy and gifts down the chimney into the good children's shoes which had been placed there. It was from this story that we get our tradition of hanging stockings on the mantle at Christmas time. If able to recite a verse or demonstrate a skill for St. Nicholas, the child would receive a gift. If unable to remember a verse, or if the child had been bad, he or she would receive a switch or a whip. Ruprecht also carried a large sack which he would frequently use to haul away the really bad boys and girls. As more and more Christian churches began combining the pagan rituals of the winter solstice with the celebration of the birth of Christ, emphasis on St. Nicholas's role began to shift. Some cultures began to downplay the role of St. Nicholas, but surprisingly retained Ruprecht. Eventually, Necht Ruprecht was made the companion and servant to the Christ child himself. In this scenario, the devil is actually given the title Weihnachtsmann, or Santa Claus. 19th century writer Theodore Storm, in his story of Necht Ruprecht, even goes so far as to describe the switches given to the children by Ruprecht as tools to be used in sadomasochistic rituals. Soon, the image of Ruprecht would fade from the Christmas tradition, but not his sadistic influence. Many of the early depictions of Santa Claus portrayed him not as a jolly gift giver, but of an unfriendly disciplinarian, complete with a ready switch or whip.
One of the problems with the Christmas gift thing for children is that it really is a religious teaching, a wrong religious teaching, because it teaches them that if they're nice they get the gifts. If they're naughty, they don't. Or in my case, I was taught that he would leave us a bundle of switches. Isn't that interesting? It's a salvation by my own personal virtue. But there's a second thing wrong with it, and that is that they're going to get those gifts whether they're naughty or nice, because most parents love their children and wouldn't dream of, quote, ruining their Christmas. And they're not going to ruin Christmas. They're going to give those children the gifts anyway. And sooner or later, those thinking children are going to realize, I wasn't very nice, but I got the gift anyway. So it isn't important to be nice. It isn't important to do what is right and avoid what is wrong.
German immigrants coming to America during the 1620s tried to influence the New World with the stories of St. Nicholas and his gift-giving companion, Next Ruprecht. But somehow the idea just didn't take hold until almost 200 years later. In 1819, America's best-selling author, Washington Irving, used his influence to promote St. Nicholas in a popular Christmas story titled Bracebridge Hall. Consulting Irving's writings, Episcopalian minister Clement Clark Moore penned a decidedly secular tale called A Visit from St. Nicholas in 1822. Later retitled The Night Before Christmas, Moore's poem was based on the tales of German and Dutch immigrants who had come to America. Intended originally only for his own children, Moore's story was published in the Troy Sentinel in New York and became an overnight sensation. Gone were the bishop's remnant of St. Nicholas. He was now a jolly old elf imbued with supernatural powers. Moore had also replaced Nicholas's companion, the horned Necht Ruprecht, with 8 horned magical reindeer. As the popularity of The Night Before Christmas grew, Moore became increasingly concerned that the story's emphasis on the supernatural and its disregard for Christ would reflect poorly on his position as a minister. As a result, he refused to take credit for its creation until the story became so popular that he could no longer resist.
Even a man that published this thought like, oh man, this is gonna get bad press. This is dealing with supernatural. You see, we're dealing with supernatural. You're dealing with witchcraft. God is not supernatural. God is all in all. God does, is to suggest that God is supernatural is like he's using magic. God doesn't use magic. God is not magic. Okay, that the angels, that the demonic forces deal with those demonic powers. That's what magic is. It's demonic powers. See, that's not coming from the Most High. The Most High doesn't have to conjure up spell. All it has to do is speak the word. It doesn't need to, you know, tiss and tussle and briss and brussel. Most High doesn't have to do that. All it says is, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. The Most High spoke the word and created the world. You didn't have to go through, get a damn dog's foot and dog bone and eye of newt and frog foot and frog eye and frog butt. The Lord didn't do none of that. But you see how they use the media to promote these symbols. When I say they, I'm talking about Satan and his minions. Because Satan is using people, okay? Satan isn't showing up as a demonic force on your TV. He's working through people. The same thing that the Most High did, he worked through his prophets and his ministers and Jesus Christ. The Satan is doing the same. So let's continue to listen.
"40 years later, illustrator Thomas Nast, political cartoonist for Harper's Weekly, seared the image of Santa Claus into the minds of the world by creating a drawing which combined Moore's jolly old elf with images of St. Nicholas."
So, welcome back to the show, Kings and Priests. Are you forced to celebrate the holidays? Namely, the one that's coming up now is Christmas. A little information about Santa Claus, showing how, you know, the origins of Santa Claus is dark. You know, how this guy, basically, they say it was St. Nicholas, you know, who was supposed to be a real bishop who actually was supposed to be at the Council of Nice, or the Council of Nicaea, that Constantine gave when he instituted and changed the birth of Christ to December 25th to go along with the gods that he worshipped, which was Saul Invictus, which means the unconquerable sun, because he was a sun worshiper. So that's what Christmas is about. That's why you got the 12 days of Christmas. That's why it falls on December 5th. That's when the sun is supposed to be reborn. All of that mythology is going into worship of other gods, is going to worship of some. People just go along for it, hook, line, and sinker, because they have a spell on them. And then when the truth comes forth, it's like, okay, I know the truth now. You know, we had one year, we had one guy on. He was from South Africa. He's like, I know this is true. I know it's wrong to celebrate Christmas. You know, I told my family, I told my wife, and they all rose up against me. You know, my wife's family rose up against me. You know, my wife threatened to divorce me or whatever. And the guy was, like, really sorrowful because he knew it was wrong, and he didn't want to do it. But it's like his whole family was against him. So what happened? He went along. But he was calling us and, like, you know, saying he felt really bad. You know, he knew it was true, but, you know, he didn't want to lose his family. You know, and that's a sad thing. But I want to go back to James 1 and 12 because I didn't finish it up. And I can hear Kakumgabar screaming at me. You need to finish that. But anyway, starting back from 1 and 12, it says, blessed the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. But God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So it's something in you that you desire, or your flesh desires, and you want that. You're charmed by it. And it says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when is it finished, it bringeth forth death. So you know, at Christmas, I want to go to the Christmas party because so-and-so is looking good, and I've been looking at her for a while. I'm going to get her in a corner. I'm going to get her a nice drink. I'm going to put some roofies or something in her drink, or I'm just going to get her drunk, take her in the toilet. We're going to have some Action Jackson. That's not right. The scripture says in Hebrews 13 and 4, marriage is honorable and all. But a lot of people, they're going to break wedlock in the name of Christmas, during this Christmas season. That's why people look forward to it. You know, generally, it's not everybody. You know, some people look forward to it because they generally want to spend time with their families. It's time off. And, you know, that's all well and good. Enjoy the time with your family. But don't say it's the birth of Christ, because it isn't. Don't say, you know, we're doing this for Jesus, because you're not. Because Jesus told you how to remember him in 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. And it wasn't about giving presents or giving gifts. It was about repentance. That's what he wanted you to remember, that he died that we could have a second chance. That he died that our adultery would not be remembered. Our murder would not be remembered. Our sins would not be remembered. And that we have to live as he lived and walked as he walked, as children of the Most High. See, people think, oh, you know, it's really sad because this is the only time that probably children are going to get gifts. That's what it teaches them. This is the only time that people are going to get shown any love. This is the only time that people are going to get shown any kindness or appreciation. That's a satanic thing. See, if you have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is to be kind. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. What is the only time when someone, you got the grumpiest person, now they're going to be happy now? That's a spell. Then after that, they're probably happy because they're getting some free food. They're probably happy because they're getting a drink, to drink their misery away. But it has nothing to do with Christ. Nothing to do with Christ. Now, I made a statement earlier about, you know, people that know that this day is wrong and they don't turn away from this day, that look, they're gonna call to the Most High, and they're gonna need help from the Most High God. They're gonna need help, and they're gonna call on the Most High in Jesus' name, and they know that these things are wrong. The Most High is gonna turn his face from them, and he's going to laugh at them. So I'm going to read this. This is Proverbs, the first chapter. He's like, that's so hard and that's harsh. You don't know the Lord, man. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is good all the time. So he sends out his prophets. He sends out his messengers to warn the people. And I'm going to show you why I'm going to show you why people don't listen. It's a problem. It's a problem. But Satan has good press. See, the Most High is setting out the word. But people are like, well, you're not the queen. Because the queen give every year, she give a Christmas address. Every year, the president gives a Christmas address. So these people are like people set in high positions or endorsing this day. And they're influencing the people to support this day. So, but let's read this first. If you know better and don't do better, what's the Lord going to do to you? So if you know that Christmas is a pagan holiday, it's not the birth of Jesus Christ, the Most High is not happy with this day, and you celebrate it anyway, and then when you need help from the Lord, what's going to happen? This is Proverbs 1 and 20. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth the words, saying. This will be the places that the prophets would go. They would go into the city. They would go into the main areas where people gathered, and then they would speak the word of the Most High. So, and they would speak the wisdom of the Most High. The wisdom of the Most High is the scriptures, the Bible. So, read on. It says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? So how long will people love these demonic holidays? Because that's what they are. They derive from the pits of hell, and they are geared to deceive. Did you not just hear the things that they said about Santa Claus, the origin of how St. Nicholas trapped the devil, and they called him Swart Pete? And in certain countries, they have what? These men dressed up in black face. It's like black people are the devil. And it's like, oh, man, this is racist, whatever. Like, it's our tradition. It's our tradition. Swart Pete is a demon. Krampus is a demon. And so they transform this into a jolly old elf. Elves are supernatural creatures that are as evil as I don't know what. But this is the person you're going to put your child on their lap. This is what Satan does. He cleans up evil. And it's, the scripture says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And that's what they're doing. They're calling this thing good when it's very evil. It's very evil. See, this is how the prophets of old were killed. Because you're taking people, what people lust after, what people desire. People think, because I say this, that I say the truth in Christ and I lie not, people want to do me harm. It was one Christmas where we were prophesying, speaking the word on the street, crying out the wisdom of the Most High. And somebody in the member of the public got upset and had us thrown in jail. Said we had a knife. Police came, saw we had no knife, and went to jail anyway. Because we spoke against Christmas. Because we said it was pagan. Because we said it wasn't biblical. But we said Christ, Jesus Christ is not born on December the 25th. In Jeremiah 10:3, and 10th chapter, it tells you not to put up a Christmas tree. It tells you that it's idolatry. So it's like you got to go to jail for that. So people love simplicity, and they hate the knowledge of God. But we have a choice to repent. And this is what it is. As time draws nigh, as wars, uprising of the people, earthquakes, storms, you know, these are the last days that the Bible is speaking about. You're going to have to make a choice whether you're going to serve the Lord or not. So let's continue. And it's Proverbs 1 and 20. And it says, 22, it says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. What are the Most High's words? The Most High's words are in this Bible. He's making known this Bible to us through Jesus Christ. Another thing, if I go quickly to John 15:3, just to show you something. A lot of people, they call themselves Baptists, and I'm going to the river, and they're going to get baptized. They're going to get clean. They're going to get clean of all their sins. See, this Bible, this word of the Most High is powerful. John 15:3, this is what it says. It says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So it's the words of this Bible. It's the words of the Bible that the Lord is making known unto us, the truth of it, that we can see all things in this world. That light, the light which is Christ, is lighting up the things that's in the dark. So the thing about Santa Claus and Christmas, nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Santa Claus has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Actually, he's an opponent. He's in opposition to Christ. Because what people have their children do is now that they don't honor Jesus Christ, they honor Santa Claus. Because Santa Claus is going to bring them the gifts. Santa Claus is going to answer their request. Santa Claus is going to hear their prayer. Because that's what a prayer is. It's a request. It's a request. You requested from the Lord for help. You requested the Lord for certain things in your life. That's what children are doing. They're learning to pray and bow down to Santa Claus. Say it's not true. And they do it in school. Write a letter to Santa Claus and post it. People put an actual stamp, money stamp on a letter and sending it to a supernatural being. Because that's what it says, the jolly old elf. That's what you send it to. So basically you have your child sending a letter to a demon. You're making a request to a demon. Okay. So the Lord says, turn ye at my reproof. So what are we reproving? We're reproving Christmas. We're reproving people to stop celebrating it. You know, we're reproving Christians that say that they love Christ, that they honor Christ, to stop celebrating. You know, another scripture, when we go to the book of Luke, I want to read, this is something that the Lord said, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the book of Luke 6:46. I'm going to get that, and I'm going to read it for you. This is Luke 6:46, and it reads, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So many people, they say that they love the Lord, that they love Jesus, but they're not going to do what is written in the scriptures. One of the things that the Lord said to do in the Bible, one of his commandments was that you shouldn't have any other gods before him. So what is it? It's been proven, not theory, not mythology, not a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy theory. Santa Claus is another god. It was a representation of another god, the hearth gods that dwell in fire. That's why he comes down in the chimney. Because he's one of those old gods that people worship, one of those pagan gods that people worship that dwelt in fire. So you think to yourself, come on, make the comparison. Wake up. Wake up. The Most High is knocking on your door. Don't you see who's the one that they say dwells in the fire? Santa Claus dwells in the fire. See, that's how Satan is tricky. He wants to trick you, but he wants to taunt you with the truth as well. See, I'm still there. Ha 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 ha. I'm in the fire, but you're not going to be able. I'm gonna put a spell on you. You're not going to be able to see that as me. You're not going to be able to see it as me. I'm going to give you clues, and you still, I'm going to put it in your face, and you still won't be able to see because you're too caught up in your own lust. You're too enticed. You're too ready to sin. You're too ready to lay down with another man's wife. You're too ready to get drunk. You're not going to see that as really me. Well, let me introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. That's what people are caught up, man. I want to read another scripture. John. Let me find it. John 14:15. Another thing that Jesus Christ said. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because a lot of people, what they try to combat with is that, oh, well, that was the Old Testament. We don't have to do that now. So, you know, in the Old Testament, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In the New Testament, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So these are other gods that people are worshiping. And, you know, they think that there's not going to be any punishment for it, but there is going to be a punishment for it. So the Most High, back to Proverbs 1:21, the Lord says, turn ye at my reproof. Reproof is correction. So we're being corrected from what holy days or holidays that are wrong to what holidays are right. You know, some people feel that they're being forced. You're not being forced. You have a choice. You have a choice. Now, the choice is you might lose your wife for Jesus Christ. So that means you suffer in Christ. If you suffer with Christ, you're going to be honored with him. But many people, they don't want to suffer for Christ. They don't want to suffer for righteousness' sake. So they let evil remain. And what is that saying? If good men, the only thing for evil to exist is for good men to do nothing. So when you look at the prophets stood for righteousness, and many of them didn't make it out alive. So people are fear that they're more in fear for their life than to do what's right. They'll go, well, you know what? You know, I like being married. You know, my wife give me some on my birthday, holidays, maybe she may get free or whatever. You know, I want to keep with that rather than having no wife, rather than having no family. But that's the job. When Christ comes, those that made that choice, that stood up for righteousness, they're going to be honored and they're going to receive the kingdom. Those that didn't, they're going to receive Christ's blade. You know, some people, oh, no, Christ's going to come and he's going to be that hippie-looking guy. No, he's going to come as a warrior. He's going to come as the King of Kings. He's going to come as the Lion of Judah. So let's continue reading. Proverbs 1:23 says, turn ye at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So the Lord is letting us know what is true, what is right, what we should be doing. He's showing us, he's correcting us to make us better. Okay? Verse 24, it says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. And that's what a lot of people do when I tell them or other brothers in the church is telling them about this, about any of these days. You know, the one that's coming up now is Christmas. Like, Christmas is pagan, you know, has nothing to do with the Bible, has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. You know what it is? They don't regard it. They take no note of it. I had certain people like, they asked me. I didn't tell them. I didn't like get on a soapbox at my job and like, I'm going to tell you about Christmas and how Christmas is wrong and Santa Claus is wrong and Santa Claus is a devil. And I didn't do that. They're like, well, why did you celebrate it? And I always say to people, you sure you want to know this? I'm like, yeah. And all I start, all right, I just put out the list. And start going through it. And like, I had one young lady. She's like, la, 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 la. I don't want to know anymore. Why did you tell me that? Because you asked. Why did you tell me that? Now I know the truth. Oh, she was so troubled by it. So this is what the Lord is saying. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. So in dealing with these days, the Most High is sending out the truth on the earth. The Most High is sending out his word on the earth. The Most High is sending out his message on the earth. Look, this is wrong. That is wrong. This is sin. Turn from this. Turn from that. But people don't want to listen. People don't want to hear. Why? Because it's affecting their lust. It's affecting what they're enticed by. You can still give your children gifts. There's all time throughout the year to give your children. I gave my son a gift the other day. He was so happy and he's proud and he's smiling. He's like, oh, look at me. He was happy. But it wasn't based on no lies. It wasn't based on Christmas. It wasn't based on some demonic setup or holiday that Satan has set up to deceive the masses. You can still buy your wife flowers. You ain't got to wait till February 14th. If I was a woman, I would be offended. Like, why you wait till the 14th? I was here January. I was here December. I was washing your drawers in November. When were the flowers then? See, people are tricked. They're caught in a spell. This is what this is. So the Lord said, I called you. But no man regarded. No man listened. No man turned at my reproof. So let's see how the Lord going to deal with you or deal with those that don't hear the word of the Most High, that don't repent of these wicked days, don't repent of their sins at the Lord's reproof, at the Lord's word, which is the scriptures, which is the Bible. Verse 25, but you have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. So what does that mean? Even though the Bible is very clear and distinct on what holidays we should celebrate and what holidays we should avoid, people won't listen to anything that the scripture says, and they will not be reproved by this Bible. They say, you have none of my reproof. I mean, you won't do anything. It's like, well, it's Christmas is Christmas. I want to do everything. I'm not changing nothing. That's how people are, man. Okay, let's just hear what the Lord has to say. Let's hear the Lord out in the scriptures. But you have said of not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear cometh. So you made jokes like, Christmas, man, you one of them conspiracy theorists. You talking about Christmas, man, you dumb. You don't celebrate. That's Jesus Christ's birth. What's wrong with you, man? The Lord said, look, you going to laugh at me? I'm going to laugh at you. See, you laugh at the Most High's messengers and his prophets and his ministers. The Lord said, I will laugh at you. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. So you may take it as a light thing. You may not be in trouble now. You may have good and plenty. But there's going to come a day that you're going to call upon the Lord. And the Lord is going to remind you. It's like, I called you. I called you to repentance. I called you to turn from this. But you mocked me. You didn't want to hear me. You didn't want to repent. So what does it say? The Lord said he will laugh and he's going to mock you. He's going to mock you. Remember, you said, you said you're going to celebrate Christmas. You got good employees. You didn't need me.
That's childish. Why would the Lord do that? That's not right.
It is right. It's called judgment. See, people are so worried about people judging. Judge not, judge not, judge not. They're not worried about the true judge. They're not worried about the Father of spirits. That's the one you need to worry about. So that's why we do these programs. Now, I made a statement that, you know, many people, they won't hear this word. Why? Because Satan has good press. He has good press. Who puts out a message every year about these days? The president does. Most presidents have a Christmas address around the world. Over here, it's the prime minister does. The Queen of England does. They all have. But I'm going to just play just to show you, and then I'm going to read a scripture to you about this is how the world works, okay? This is the Christmas address from President Obama and our First Lady. Let's listen to it.
Hi, everybody. This weekend, as you gather with family and friends, Michelle and I wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays.
We both love this time of year, and there's nothing quite like celebrating the holidays at the White House. It's an incredible experience, and one that we try to share with as many folks as possible. This month, more than 90,000 people will come through the White House to see the holiday decorations. And our theme for this year's holiday season was Joy to All, a reminder to appreciate the many joys of the holidays, the joy of giving, the joy of service, and of course, the joy of homecoming.
That's right. This weekend, parents are picking up their kids from college and making room for all the laundry they bring with them. Children are counting down the hours until the grandparents arrive. And uncles, aunts, and cousins are making their way to join the family and share in the holiday spirit.
That's what makes this season so special, getting to spend time with the people we love most.
And this year, that's especially true for some of our military families. You see, the war in Iraq is over. The transition to Afghanistan is underway, and after a decade of war, our heroes are coming home. All across America, military families are reuniting. So this week, let's give thanks for our veterans and their families, and let's say a prayer for all our troops, especially those in Afghanistan, who are spending this holiday season overseas, risking their lives to defend the freedoms that we hold so dear.
And remember, when our men and women in uniform answer the call to serve, their families serve right along with them. All across the country, military spouses have been raising their families all alone during those long deployments. And let's not forget about our military kids moving from base to base and school to school every few years and stepping up to help out at home when mom or dad is away. Our military families sacrifice so much on our behalf.
That's enough of that. So when you have the President of the United States and the First Lady, that's a powerful influence. Is it not? It's like, well, the president celebrated. Can't be wrong. He's celebrating it. That's a power influence. So say, cool, many people say, I don't like Obama. Well, okay, well, you don't like Obama, but you like your mama. And your mama, your mother and your father celebrated Christmas. Your grandmother celebrates Christmas. They're all there together, and they're looking at you. What are you talking about, you know, so the Bible? Boy, you don't understand that Bible. There's a powerful influences behind this day. But in this day is not supported by the most powerful influence of all, which is the scriptures. So people put that to the side and like, well, I'm going to do my thing. So I'm going to read this scripture. This is Ecclesiasticus, the 13th chapter and the 23rd verse. And it says, when a rich man speaketh, every man holdeth his tongue and look what he saith. They extol it to the clouds. But if the poor man speak, they say, what fellow is this? And if he stumble, they will help to overthrow him. So because of power and position, what it is, people have respect of persons. It's like, well, that's the president, so I'm going to listen to him. That's the pastor, so I'm going to listen to him. This is my mom, so I'm going to listen to her. I'm going to listen to her. This is my dad, I'm going to listen to him. So on and so forth. So people, they hold people in esteem. Just like the rich man, they hold the rich man in esteem. But someone that's poor or not well known, that's why I said, what fellow is this? Who are you? That's what they said to Christ. It's like, well, where's he from? Where's he from? What? Galilee. Where's he from? Well, who's from there? There's nobody good come out of that. That's what they thought of Christ. So it's not about who's saying it. It's about where it's coming from. It's coming from the Most High. People look at men, but they don't look at the word of the Most High. Look at John the Baptist, who was eating locust and honey in the wilderness. It's like, who is this guy? Many people heard him because he spoke the word of the Most High. But then other people, they looked down upon him. They look down upon him. But we carry on the word of the Most High. And there's one more thing that I want to play. And it's dealing with Valentine's Day. What would happen if you didn't get your spouse or your girlfriend the right gift? What would happen? That's why I say people are being forced to celebrate these days. Because it's like, okay, if you didn't buy your spouse or your wife a gift on Valentine's Day, you think you will be getting any kind of special favors that night? Well, let's listen to this.
And one more thing on the subject of love. Valentine's Day was last week, and we commemorated that by issuing one of our very popular YouTube challenges. I asked our viewers to give their wife or girlfriend something she would hate as a gift, videotape her opening the gift, and upload it to YouTube with the title, Hey Jimmy Kimmel, I gave my wife or girlfriend a terrible gift for Valentine's Day. And we got some very creative submissions. We also got some very disturbing submissions. And I'll let you be the judge of which are which. Enjoy.
This is the box that I bought our wedding ring in. My wife hates losers. So I splurged.
You really
got me something from Tiffany? Hold on,
hold the box up. I think you just...
Did you really?
Happy Valentine's.
I'm kidding. What were you talking about?
Oh, my God.
Happy Valentine's.
That's terrible. Are you crazy?
made a ring out of a kidney stone that I had.
Maybe.
That's kind of neat.
You don't like your picture of Matt Damon?
No.
Thanks, Matt Damon. You ruined Valentine's Day.
Ew, gross.
Chicken feet.
Okay.
You're always good at dishes. I thought you needed
something. You are. Helen, you told me you weren't going to get me anything.
I know. Open it. I like it.
Helen, is that a real thing?
What, honey? Baby, you don't like it? Honey, you don't like it?
I guess that's how some guys feel about Valentine's Day. They don't like it. So a lot of people, they took it as a joke. But, you know, these are these days, these so-called holy days, but it's not really holy days. You know, we went through a lot of different examples, proved a lot of points, and just want people to wake up and deal with the truth. Not the lies that they're being told. If you're going to celebrate Christmas, you know, you have the choice to do what you want to do, but it's not of the Most High. It's not a godly day. Any of these days, whether it's Valentine's, whether it's Easter, whether it's Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Father's Day, we do shows on that all year long on the truth of these days and the history of the days and exactly where they come from. If you choose to celebrate these days, you are making a choice. No one is forcing you to do it. So giving all praises to the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, you know, if you have questions or comments, then you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach, that's the letter U, reach.com. And, you know, we'll get back to you. We'll answer you. You know, if you need support, you know, it's going to be your first year and you're not going to be celebrating Christmas with family or friends and you need some support or someone to hold your hand, and, you know, give us a ring and we'll help you and we'll support you through this first Christmas without celebrating Christmas. And a lot of people, that's what it's going to be, because a lot of people are learning through YouTube, through social media, that these days or not of Jesus Christ, and they're not gonna celebrate it anymore because they know that is wrong. So we're here to support if you need support. And until next time, we say all praises to the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. All honor is due to Him, majesty, grace, power. He is the Father. We are His children. And we have to listen. So till next time, kings and priests, we say shalom.
The Revelation of St. John the Divine, Chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.